One of the most important lessons I learned in life is to pay attention to your gut feeling. Many may say it's God talking to you or your inner conscience, but either way, pay attention to your first mind. If something don't feel right, more than likely it's not. It's not always about what people say, but it's why they said it. It's not always about what a person did, but why they did it. And once I started viewing life through that lens, I seen the world totally different. Yes, actions are stronger than words, but a person's intention behind those words are what's most important. Week showed me so many things about paying attention to your gut and dealing with people, trusting the wrong person, and so much more. But most importantly, paying attention to others' actions, because someone's actions can tell you more than they ever could say. Their actions or what they have going on can get you hurt, killed, or in jail if the communication is not open between the individuals. Communication can make or break or even save lives.
Get money. New money. Been waiting on. Hey, rich boy, sell it quick. Folk niggas wanna jack. Sit tight, no snake. Just bought a Cadillac.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac. Rich boy, sell it quick. Folk niggas wanna jack. Sit tight, no snake. Just bought a Cadillac.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac.
I was taking a few summer courses back in 2007, and it was hot and scorching outside. You know those hot days where you can even take multiple showers a day to try to stay cool, but it's all sun, no wind, or rain in sight. This upcoming week was so crazy. I needed a break to get away, relax, and have a few drinks and party. It was just a regular weekend in my eyes, getting ready to step out and party in ATL with my homie Chief. I had been noticing lately he hadn't been acting like himself lately. Plus, our vibe as friends have been off, especially after a drunk night a couple days before. Let's go back to that drunk night a few days before. I had a few friends over to play some cards and have fun. It was maybe about six or seven of us. One of the females that was over was someone I was cool with for years, that I met the second year after attending college. She used to come to my side of the campus and pick me up to buy weed and smoke and just talk. Her name is Terry. She was from Chicago, brown skin, maybe about 5'7", 5'8", always kept herself up, her appearance, full lips, with a little gap in between her front teeth. Her and I became more cool after a breakup I had with my first girlfriend that moved to Howard University in DC. Terry also brought a couple of her friends. One of my partners from Detroit named James, that's like a younger brother, also came as well. James was a wild cat, but loyal. Definitely was a hustler, but he would finesse you if he didn't know who you were or if he can get over on you. One thing about James, he was super smart when it came to those books, especially if he applied himself. Terry and I were just friends, never fucked or anything like that. She was like a homeboy, but in a female body to me. She would bring a lot of money from her side of the campus to me, from other chicks that used to buy weed or smoke weed. I had James come over really to try to squash a petty beef that he had with my homeboy Chief and to figure out why they was beefing in the first place, because we all used to be cool. And come to find out, it was over a woman. A woman that later on became James' baby mama. As the night went on, drinking fifth after fifth with Remy Martin VSOP, playing music, and all of us playing spades, a fight almost breaks out between me and another guy on the other team. Me and him really didn't know each other, and he didn't know my personality being from Detroit. We talked shit and have fun. Every time I had a winning card, I was slapping it on the table and talking shit. Everybody else was laughing and having fun, but he wasn't. I guess he couldn't take getting his ass whooped in spades. As the night was about to end, I pulled James to the side to talk to him, trying to be a mutual friend to alleviate their issue. And during that conversation, that's when I found out it was about a young woman that he was dating or used to date that Chief is now dealing with, but he felt like he didn't have no beef with Chief over this. So I told James I'll holler at Chief about this situation and try to squash the beef. That shouldn't be a beef in the first place because I was raised to never beef with another man over a woman. Shortly after the party kind of wind down and people started leaving, I ended up walking everybody outside to their cars. And when we got outside, Terry said she had to use the bathroom before driving back to her side of the campus. The other girls that Terry brought with her got in their cars and they left. I'm like, for sure, come up. So she came back up to the apartment, used the bathroom. And after she came out of the bathroom, she tells me that she was hungry and asked if we have any food. Because she knew this little apartment we had on campus was like a bachelor pad, just to party and make money out of. I replied, of course, pointed her towards the kitchen and showed her where everything was at. She cooked damn near a full meal. We ate. She slowly gets up and goes back to the back of the apartment. In my mind, I'm thinking she had to use the bathroom again, but some time went by. So eventually I got up to go to the back to check on her to see what was going on. I ended up seeing her laying in the bed on her phone. So I asked her, everything good? She replied to me, yeah, if it's cool with you, I'ma spend the night here. I told her I was cool with that, but I also mentioned to her that I'm not about to sleep on the couch in the front. She laughed and replied that she wasn't about to sleep on the couch either and started slowly taking off her clothes, in which this threw me for a surprise. But at this point, I seen where this was about to go. One thing led to another, and we end up having sex for the first time. A very bad decision. This was a lesson I learned in this situation, that every friend or female that you know, you shouldn't have sex with. Because from that day forward, after we woke up the next morning, our friendship was never the same. We wake up the next morning, everything is pretty cool. She puts on her clothes, we roll up and smoke, talk for a second, and then she leaves. But on her way out the door, she wanted to give me a hug and kind of came in for a kiss, but I kind of just gave her a hug and told her I'll see you later. I get up, take a shower, throw on some clothes to head back to my apartment off campus. I end up seeing Terry the next day on some bullshit. Remember, at this time, I didn't live on campus. There was another female that I knew that went to our same school that wanted me to come up on campus to eat lunch with her in the cafeteria. So I drove up to the campus to eat with her. Both her and Terry stay in the same dorm. While we were sitting down eating, one of Terry's friends that was at the party the other day comes into the cafeteria and sees us sitting at a table eating. I really don't think too much of it. I slightly give her a head nod and speak and continue my conversation I was having. Next thing I know, Terry started calling my phone back to back crazy, maybe 3 or 4 times. All the way to the point the girl that I'm eating with asks, is everything okay? Frustrated, I end up picking up the phone, asking Terry, why are you blowing me up? I could tell by the tone in her voice she was tripping. She asked me, are you down here in my dorm eating with another girl? So I get up and walk away from the table and tell her, like, yeah, we not together. We not boyfriend or girlfriend. What's wrong? She like, oh, okay. I see what it is. But I called to tell you that I left some clothes over at the apartment and I needed to pick them up and get them back. I replied, cool. After I get done eating, I'll meet you over at the campus apartment. Terry just hangs up the phone without saying bye or anything. So I sit back down, finish eating, and continue our conversation. Once we got done, we get up, we hug. I leave out to go get my car to meet up with Terry. Me and Terry pull up to the apartment around the same time. We walk in together. She rolls up a little blunt and starts smoking as she's grabbing a few items that she left at the apartment. She was acting a little funny while grabbing these items, but she never brings up the cafeteria situation that just happened. So I do. She tries to play it off like it's not a big deal, and we move past it. But during the same discussion, she ended up telling me randomly that one of her friends she knew from back home in Chicago, named Ashley, that goes to our same school, has herpes. I definitely heard what she said, but I didn't really play too much into the conversation. She gets all her stuff together, we finish smoking, and she leaves to go to her next class. Now the night comes. I finish handling a little business on campus, and before I leave, I see a few guys that I know talking about a robbery that happened. I'm more ear hustling than anything, not involving myself in the conversation. I don't know if I walked up too late, but they never said who was actually involved in this particular robbery. So I take a few steps off towards my car to call to check on my homie Chief to make sure everything was all good with him. The phone goes straight to voicemail. I know how things work, so I knew at some point in time the streets or the campus would eventually talk, and I would find out who was involved in this robbery on both ends, who was robbed and who did the robbery. So maybe an hour or so goes by, I get a call from someone else, calling just to check on me to make sure everything was okay. And during this conversation, they bring up the same robbery that I just heard about on campus. They explained to me it was some type of robbery that started off as a dice game and two people got duct taped and killed. I was like, damn. Because one of the individuals that he told me that was involved in the robbery that got killed was someone that I seen on campus multiple times throughout the years that I never even knew hustled or sold anything. Basically, I tell him I appreciate the info and stay safe out here. Still to this point, I hadn't heard back from Chief yet. So the next day comes, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I see a guy I consider to be one of my homies, because he's from Detroit, named G. For some odd reason, mainly all the Detroit people hung together on campus. It's like if you were from Birmingham, Alabama, you hung with nothing but people from Birmingham. If you were from Oakland, you hung with nothing but people from Oakland. If you was from Chicago, the same thing. So since we were all from Detroit, we met the first year, I thought we were all cool. I see him outside of one of the female dorms hollering at a chick. Guess who this chick was? Ashley. The same girl Terry was telling me had herpes. I known G way longer than I knew Terry or Ashley. So once I seen that they conversation ended, I ended up hitting up G to say, hey bro, I don't know if it's true or not, but Ashley's best friend, Terry, told me the other day that she got herpes. So just be careful. I swear no more than a day went by. I was finishing up handling some business on campus, and I'm walking back towards the library. I see Ashley driving past. She slams on her brakes and busts a U-turn. In my mind, I'm like, aw, shit. I'm thinking to myself, this nigga done repeated what I said. She rolls down her window a little bit, like, hey, come here. I still didn't 100% know if it was that or if it was something else. I get maybe two or three steps away from the car. She fully rolls down her window, and I can now see the look in her eyes. She looked pissed. She says, you told G I got herpes? She begins to explain that recently, before this semester started, that she had got tested and that all her paperwork came back clean. She really didn't give me a chance to respond before she ended up pulling off. I eventually had to make the effort to get her on the phone and talk to her, because honestly, it wasn't my intentions to try to throw no dirt on her name or make her look bad. So I explained to her the situation without throwing her friend under the bus, but explained to her what would she do if she was in the same situation. Luckily, she understood where I was coming from, and we got back cool. But I never said nothing to G after that, or at least about that situation. Because in that moment, when she pulled up on me and I heard what she had to say, I knew I couldn't fully trust G again for throwing me up under the bus, when all I was trying to do as a friend was just make sure he'd stay safe. That next morning came. Surprisingly, I finally get a call from Chief. One, I'm glad everything is good with him, to hear from him. Plus, I was getting low on the weed amount that I had for sale. He tells me he had been out of town, back in California, handling some business. But he didn't really have the same upbeat vibe that he normally has, especially being someone from Northern California. He wanted to meet up at the end of the week to show me some of his new strands that he got, plus chop it up. I'm like, cool. The day comes where me and Chief meet up. We discuss a little business, but in the back of my mind, I wanted to have a conversation with him about James, but he wanted to stop by this little club that's near campus to go have a few drinks. But this whole time, he still wasn't acting his normal self. Chief is from Sacramento, a city from outside the Bay Area. Before I knew he was from Sacramento, I thought he was from the Bay, because to me, they kind of act similar, but people from that area would think otherwise. So we hit the club and leave out pretty early because it wasn't nothing popping. We get back in the car, and out of nowhere, we get into a little small argument while driving back to the apartments on campus. We pull up in this dead silence. We get out the car to walk up to the apartments. I get a call from a few chicks that I know that wanted to try to see what was going on tonight. But after that phone call ended, out of nowhere, Chief ended up apologizing to me. He apologizes for being uptight. He said he was mad that I had James over to the apartment just a few days before, knowing that he don't fuck with dude. I tell him the only reason why I had him over to the apartment in the first place was to try to squash the beef between you and him, to find out what was going on. Cause like I said earlier, we were all cool at some point. James is a little bit younger than us and has his own crowd of people that he deal with. So to me, besides friendship, business-wise, it was smart for all of us to stay cool. We had more reach to more people to sell more weed. I could tell Chief wasn't really trying to hear the business part. He felt he couldn't trust James. Maybe it was more going on than I knew. I knew James before Chief, but once me and Chief became friends, we were like brothers. We were together every day. You really wouldn't see one without the other. Chief ended up asking me, do I want to go to ATL this upcoming weekend to go party? He mentioned because Huntsville had been hot lately. I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. Once I get rid of the rest of this work that I got, I'm ready to do whatever. About 2 months prior to this day, Chief had got arrested in a raid, and he was out on a $500K bond. So I knew after him getting out, he really didn't want to spend a lot of time in Huntsville, if he didn't have to, or if it wasn't business related.
I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I spent that on a necklace. I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard not to act reckless. To whom much is given, much is tested. Get arrested, guess until he get the message.
The weekend finally comes and we head to Atlanta. Atlanta is maybe 3 to 3.5 hours from where we stay at. We were kind of in a rush, plus we had to make it to ATL in time to catch our package that was coming in the mail from California. This weekend trip wasn't just about the hustle. It was to party and have fun, but also network with some local ladies to hopefully do some future business. Because during this time in our lives, we mainly only hollered at females just to be able to use their address at some point just to catch our packs and give them a couple $100 for doing so, even though they really never knew what was inside of those boxes. Of course, we would mix and mingle with the ladies while out there in Atlanta, but business always came first. Now, we're about 2 hours into this drive and we get a call from the club that we paid for our booths at. Hello? Chief answers the phone on speakerphone like, hello? They reply, hey, this is Courtney from the club calling about the booth you guys paid for and reserved. He like, yeah, what's up? Is everything good? She replied, yeah, everything is fine. However, we sold the booth to you guys a little premature because an artist from Atlanta hadn't purchased or put down a deposit prior to the Birdman record release party. Chief kind of cuts her off and asks, so what's wrong? She replied, well, they're just coming back in town and all the booths are booked, and they wanted to buy the booth back and pay a little extra for the inconvenience. I could tell Chief was getting madder and madder as the conversation was going on. He tells her we are already on the road headed that way, not too far out. Plus, we have already paid for our hotel rooms, bottle service, and have other people meeting us in town for this night. So unfortunately, we can't give up our booth. She replies, okay, well, when you get in town, come past the club so you can pay for the rest of the bill. He like, all right, cool, and hangs up the phone. I could kind of see the urgency in Chief's eyes about going down here. I knew that he wanted to get away from Huntsville, but it seemed like maybe something else was going on. So I knew once we got down here, I had to keep my guards up. Chief always felt like it was better to go to Atlanta and party and spend money rather than in Huntsville, because anybody that knows Huntsville, the police is everywhere. Damn near out of every 10 cars that you see, you see one or two police cars or an undercover. Prior to this trip, he had been telling me he was planning on moving to Atlanta after he was arrested in a raid that hit the local news stations. Things was getting hot, but instead of stop hustling, he figured moving to Atlanta and rerouting the way the work was coming in the mail to different small cities in Georgia, then bringing it back to Huntsville was the best idea. Unfortunately, at this time of my life, getting money was most important, so it didn't matter to me. I didn't really think too much further into it, because I didn't know if it would be a for sure thing. Because it was a lot of situations that happened when I wasn't around he hadn't told me about. Like a situation in Atlanta where him and some local guys got robbed and he wasn't sure if he was set up by the people that he was with. As we're getting closer to ATL, he bust out laughing. I look up out the window, I see a FedEx truck passing by us. He like, our work probably on that truck. We laugh it off and keep it moving. We finally get to the hotel, check in and put our stuff in our rooms. I hit up this one guy that I know that live in Atlanta that always brings us guns while we're in town to make sure that we're covered and protected. We relax for a little bit, get up and freshen up to leave to go to the club to talk to the lady who called about the boo. We finally get to the club. We meet the lady that called us, and she starts to explain that the artist that she was talking about was Young Jeezy. She explained how Young Jeezy wanted that booth, but we had already decided that we were not letting go of our booth. We paid for the rest of everything and head out. So after we got back in our vehicle, I get a call. It's from the young lady we were expecting to catch our mail. She basically called just to tell us that our mail made it there safe. She thought we were shipping some clothes in town because she knew we was coming down there to party for the weekend. So on the way to her, we stop and go get something to eat at Justin's, then pick up the mail from her, then head to Buckhead, where our hotel was at. On the way to the hotel, we stop at Lenox Mall down the street to grab some clothes and get ready for the Birdman record release party the next night. Chief is normally always high-spirited. He's a smooth dude, but he's always in his zone. But in the mall, I could tell it seemed like he was in a rush, like something was wrong or he didn't really want to be seen. So we grab up some quick clothes and shoes and head back to our separate hotel rooms to crash to the next day. The next morning, I wake up at like 6 a.m. I call him like, hey, let's go get some breakfast. The hotel we were staying in served breakfast, lunch, and had an open bar. So I wanted to put some food on our stomachs because we had a long day ahead of drinking. We get up to eat, come back to our rooms, grab a few cigarillos and some weed, and go out to the car to smoke and waste some time to the party. Eventually, the phone rings with the other guys that we were meeting down there. Keep in mind, I know these guys, but these guys are more of Chief friends. They both were from Alabama. I felt a little funny dealing with some Alabama guys after one of my homies that's from Alabama, older brother, tells me my first year in college that it was some guys that he knew that was plotting to try to rob me. But since I was cool with his younger brother, basically he stopped that from happening. But he told me that Huntsville guys or people in Alabama period really don't like other people from out of state getting money in their area. So basically he was putting me up on game on how to move. And years later, going to this party, that conversation never left my head. So I always stayed on point as much as I could, because during this time I was an alcoholic and didn't even know it. And you know how being drunk can blur your vision. The other two guys called back wanting to know our room numbers so they can come by maybe a couple hours before we head out to go to the club. We had paid for 3 hotel rooms. I got my room, Chief paid for his room, and we split the money for an extra hotel room. Just in case if we brought any girls back, nobody would know exactly where we were resting our heads at. So we gave them the room number to the extra room. I tucked 3 guns spread out through the room as we waited for them to get there. By this time, it's 5 or 6 o'clock. The hotel had an open bar, so we started pre-gaming. I get a call from back home from one of my homegirls named Jamaica wanting to come down to the A, but it was too late for her to catch a plane and to make it on time. The guys we were waiting on finally pull up and meet us at the room. So we all start getting dressed and ready, drinking and talking shit. Everything planned out cool. By the time we got to the club, we were already tipsy. We get there and come to find out Chief had paid for a bodyguard. Not just for him, but to stand behind us at the booth and to walk us back to our cars. It was a little odd to me, because out of the 100 times we have hit Vegas, California, or even Atlanta to party, we held ourselves down. We go in the club being escorted by the bodyguard to our booth. The booths in this club is up a level looking over the rest of the club with a waist height glass separating us from the rest of the club. I look over at the other booths. I see Jazzy Faye and all types of different celebrities and people from Cash Money Records. It was Birdman record release party, but it was no sign of Birdman. As soon as we got settled in our booth, we get our first set of 5 bottles of Rosé Moët. We basically paid in advance to have bottles sent every hour on the hour while we were there. Of course, the DJ got the club hype and his sexy ladies all over the club. Since we were in the booth right next to all the celebrities that the ladies came to see, I don't know if they could tell if we were with the celebrities or not. So we let about 5 or 6 women come up to our booth with us. Shortly after, I see 2 big ass bodyguards clearing the way for someone to come up to our level where all the booths are at. It took a minute, but eventually I peeped it was Young Jeezy. He ended up going to the booth right next to ours. and every so often I would catch him looking over at us as we party. It was funny to me, but inside I didn't know if something may pop off, because he didn't look too happy that we was in that booth. I looked over at Chief and he was just chilling. Once again, not like his normal self. Definitely not in a party setting. He wasn't drinking too much, just mainly smoking. But hey, I'm having fun with the ladies and the vibe is cool, drinking, everything is lit. By the end of the night, I'm drunk and I'm the designated driver. We leave the booth, we take a few pictures as a group, take some pictures with the ladies we were with, and a couple of the ladies come back to the room with us. And that was it. I never knew, with all the odd signs I seen this whole week and trip, that this would be the last time I would see my homie Chief alive. After partying that weekend and catching our work that came in the mail, we packed up, loaded up, and headed back to our city where we go to college at. We get back in town, hustle, basically the same old routine. Since getting back in town, I noticed I really hadn't heard from Chief like I would normally every day. We normally meet up every day or talk at some point about business or regular friend shit. We had a small apartment on college campus that was inside of a gated community that only students could get in and out of. A perfect place to blend in, break down work, or make plays. We used the security of the college to our advantage, because you can't just bust in or out of this community that has sliding steel gates that you need a college ID to get in and out of. One day I stopped by the apartment and no one was there. So I'm waiting on a couple people to pull up to get rid of the rest of the weed that I had. Chief pulls up and comes inside. We talk for a minute. He starts to roll up a blunt and we start playing some dominoes. And while we sitting there playing dominoes, he ended up telling me about how a package of money that was getting sent back to California ended up getting caught in the mail. So of course I'm asking him how. He said get sniffed out somehow going through Texas. So that's why he had been out the way. He just been basically at his spot just chilling. And he also tell me how he ended up bumping into a girl from Chicago that he had seen around me a couple times. So I'm like, who you talking about, Terry? He like, yeah, old girl with the little gap in her mouth. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly who she is. He said he had randomly bumped into her and she wanted to buy some weed from him. So he invited her over to his house and they end up fucking. In my mind, I'm like, she fucking him trying to get back at me or make me mad or something, but I don't care. He asked me, have me and her been fucking or are we fucking? And I told him about the whole situation, but it was nothing because me and him bros, like, I don't trip over nothing like that. The people I was waiting on pull up, so I tell Chief I'll be back. I assume he thought I was leaving for a while, but I wasn't. I came back in maybe 10 minutes later. He was counting maybe 50, 60 grand on the kitchen table. I went to the back to add up what I had just made, plus what I had on me. I walked back up front, and Chief is gone. Another weird move. Later that day, I get a call from my mom saying she was sick. Normally, while being in college, if she got sick, we may speak a little bit more than usual just to check on her to make sure she's okay. But I think with everything that had been going on, I decided to go back to Detroit to visit her for a while until she got better. A week or so after being home, I get a call from an old friend I used to do business with named Tut, telling me that they got Chief. I asked him, what you mean they got Chief? Thinking that maybe he got arrested again. His tone dropped and he said, nah, someone killed him. They found him dead in his condo in Atlanta. They said he got shot in the head twice. I was driving down Livernois at the time of this conversation. I swerved off the road into a gas station and tripped out. I don't know why, but out of all the death I've seen and funerals I've been to in my life, this situation sent me into a depression. And I didn't even know it because at that time I was feeding myself so much alcohol. I know after hearing all this, you wonder how someone in college can get to this point. But to make it all make sense on how some young black men can go off to college to better their life and end up into drugs, guns, and money that leads to death, let me take you back to the beginning.